Morning, open to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I appreciate those of you who are praying for my wife and I as we were gone last week to Oklahoma to be with our daughter Megan and our son-in-law Daniel after they had just lost the baby. Appreciate all the prayers for them and for us being here. Appreciate Brother Joel preaching. What a great message last week. Amen. Not to worry, right? And so praise the Lord for that. And then being able to have one of our missionaries Sunday night. So, but I'm glad to be back and always great to be at First Baptist Church. Amen? I set you up for that one and you failed. It's always great to be at First Baptist Church. Amen? Oh, that's much better. That's much better. Yes, that's great. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Father, we do pray that you would just bless this morning through your word. And Father, I pray you'd speak to hearts and just help us to desire to draw closer to you, Lord, as we have the opportunity to serve you. And Lord, we don't know how much longer we have here on this earth. Lord, we don't know when you're going to return. But Father, we know that it's drawing closer and closer. And so, Father, I pray that you would just help us to serve you, Lord, each day that we have the opportunity. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been going through 2 Timothy chapter 2, and as we ended chapter 1, Paul mentions about those who had forsaken him in Asia. But he spoke of the example of Onesiphorus, who had stood with Paul. Though many others had forsaken him, and there were specific ones that Paul even called out, who were trying to oppose the ministry, but he speaks of Onesiphorus, and now Paul is reminding Timothy of the responsibility that he has, and we're looking at these things that Paul is reminding Timothy of, knowing that we can apply them to our own life, and again, understanding as Paul is soon ending his journey of life. We know later on in chapter 4, he says, "I know my departure's at hand." Paul says, "I know I'm about ready to die." But he's encouraging Timothy and saying, "Timothy, you're still here. You still have a responsibility. And I want you to encourage you and I want to challenge you in some things, because we know that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And so Paul says, "Look, Timothy, you know, and I know, that one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't want you to be like one of these who has forsaken the ministry. I don't want you to be like one of these who is opposing the gospel." And so he gives some examples here of things to try to encourage Timothy and to challenge him in. And we saw in verse number 1 and 2, there is the example of a strong steward. And then in verse number 3 and 4, the second example was of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And now he gives a third example here, right? And again, each of these is very important because there's something specific Paul is trying to demonstrate. We think of that strong steward. We have been stewarded with what God has blessed us with. And we know that one day we're going to have to give an account of that. And so he says, be strong, right? And so we have to walk in the Spirit. And then he tells us there in verses 3 and 4 to be a good soldier. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, about what it entails to be a good soldier following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our commander. But then he comes to verse number 5, and he says, "And if any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully." So the third example that Paul is giving to Timothy is of an athlete. So he's given a steward, a soldier, but now he gives an athlete. But not just any athlete. This athlete, this example that Paul is giving to Timothy, is of a disciplined athlete. A disciplined athlete, right? And this is not just anybody that says, anybody can say they're an athlete, right? But we know that it takes certain things to really be a disciplined athlete, right? How many of you like sports? Anybody like sports? How many of you like sports? All right, that's good, right? How many of you care nothing about sports? All right, well, you might as well just leave right now. No, I'm just kidding, don't leave. No, I mean, there are some people that just care nothing about sports, right? How many of you took your kids to some sport that they played and you had no idea what was going on, right? Yeah, you're just there, you're just the chauffeur, right? The kids are like, we're going to go play soccer or baseball or football or whatever. And you're like, okay, get in the car, let's go, right? And you sit there and you're like, yay. No, he just got out. Oh, bad, you know? Yay, somebody scored. No, that was the other team that scored. Oh, bad, you know. You just had no idea what was going on, but you were there to support your kids, right? And so this is what he's saying. He's giving the example of an athlete, right? In verse number 5, a man that is striving for masteries, right? Yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So just as he used the soldier in verse number 3 and 4, knowing that that example would be understood with Rome being the world empire at the time and soldiers being all over, he uses an athlete here as an example that would also be known because of the Greeks. Of course, if we think of the Olympic Games began in Greece. They started with the Greeks, right? And they were well known during this time. In fact, the judges were very careful about enforcing the rules and watching how each competitor would compete. Just to be able to participate, to get into the games, there were very strict requirements, right? I mean, I think we have the Olympics coming up here. I don't know if it's this year or next year. I think it is. But, you know, you just can't sign up for any event. There are some strict requirements that they have for you to be able to even enter, right? They had the same thing back in Paul's day, right? They had to be a citizen of their nation. So whatever nation they're representing, they had to be a legal citizen of that country. They had to have a good reputation, and he had to have been in preparation for a minimum of 10 months, right? So if they could not prove and they could not sign they had been in preparation for 10 months and that they were of this specific country or whatever, they couldn't even participate in these games, right? And notice why he says this at the end. He said, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully, right? There were rules that they had to go by, right? There were requirements that were there, even just to get into the games. And when we think about what he's saying here, a disciplined athlete, right? Again, what is the whole purpose of being able to compete? When you think about whether it's the Olympic Games that Paul is referring to here, or the Olympic Games that are going to come up, or just any type of competition in sports, what is the end goal? Why are they doing it? To win, right? They want to be able to say at the end, I won, right? Here is the gold medal, or here is the trophy, or here it is. This is what I did. I won, okay? And really, what they're saying is, I beat everybody. I know, that's not woke today to be able to say you that, right? You know, everybody's a winner. No, only one winner, right? There was only one person that could win the gold, okay? And this is what he's saying. There's a purpose behind it. They're striving for the crown, okay? Now, obviously, sports have come a long ways in our society today, but in those days, it wasn't really about the money. They didn't really get a lot of money. It was about the crown. It's about being able to go up before those judges and to be able to be crowned with the crown that shows that you were the winner. You followed the rules, you did the requirements, you competed, and you beat everyone, and you were crowned the winner. In the book of Luke, turn over with me to the book of Luke, chapter 9. The book of Luke, chapter number 9. Luke, chapter number 9. And notice in verse number 22. In Luke, chapter 9, in verse number 23. And he, this is Jesus speaking, said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or to be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Now, but I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. So think about what Jesus is saying. The disciples are here. These are the disciples. And if you understand what's just happened, is Peter has basically said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God, we're going to stand with you, we're never going to forsake you, we're always going to be with you. And Jesus says, all right, hey, listen, guys, let me tell you something. You say you want to be my disciples. You say you want to follow me, but here's what you have to understand. There are some requirements. Just as in the Olympic Games, there were requirements just to be able even to participate in the games, Jesus said, look, if you want to be my disciple, you want to participate in what is called this Christian life, there are some requirements here. And notice what he says here. He says, if any man will come after me, here's the requirements. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Here's what Jesus is saying. He says, guys, if you really want to be my disciples, if you really want to follow me, there's a requirement that you have to follow. You have to be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Then you can be my disciple. Then you can truly follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That's what Jesus says. I'm afraid that, like in many scenarios in our country today, we've kind of dumbed down requirements and rules and things. We've tried to let just people slip in. But Jesus said, look, if you're really going to follow me, you can't just slip in. There's no scale on the requirements here. These are the requirements here if you're going to follow me. Now, here's the thing, friend. Anybody can say, I'm a Christian. Anybody can say that, right? But Jesus wants to know, are you really going to be a follower of Jesus Christ? You say, well, Pastor, aren't those the same thing? Well, the word Christian means to be like Christ, yes. That's what it means. But just because you claim to be a Christian doesn't mean you are following Christ. Just because you claim to be saved, just because you say, I know I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven, doesn't mean that you are that follower of Jesus Christ that he wants you to be. And this is why he is saying here, look, if you want to follow me, if you truly want to be a disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, then you can follow me. You see, we want the easy road. We want to be able to just say, you know, hey, I'm a Christian, and that's all there is to it. That's not what Jesus said. Watch what he says. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. That's, I would say, probably our biggest fault in Christianity today. We do not want to deny self. We do not want to lose our life. We don't. And this is why Paul is telling Timothy, hey, Timothy, if you're going to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, if you're going to fulfill the responsibilities that God has for you, you have to understand, you have to be a disciplined athlete. You have to be a disciplined athlete, not just somebody that says they play a sport, but you've got to be a disciplined athlete. If we wish to share Christ's victory, we must be ready to share his suffering. If there is no cross, there can be no crown. You see, we want the crown without the cross. We want the glory without ever having to go through any trials or difficulties. To try to withdraw oneself from all the problems and hardships, to try to avoid all that is painful or disagreeable, is a violation of the rules of the arena. It's a violation of the rules. You can't just say, hey, you know, all right, a week before the Olympic Games are, okay, I think I want to join the Olympics. No, sorry. You just can't do that. In fact, oh, you know, hey, I think, you know what? I know my passport says I'm an American citizen, but you know what? I think I'm going to go and I'm going to help Argentina this year. I'm going to help Argentina. I'm going to go for sorry, you can't do that. You had to be a citizen of the country you were representing. You had to have a good reputation. You had to have trained for 10 months. He said there are some requirements here to be able to be just in the competition itself. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you've got to be willing to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Now, can I say, in some aspects, the easiest thing to do would be to do nothing. Is that not true? In many aspects, the easiest thing would be to do nothing. And this is what Paul is speaking about. This is what he's reminding Timothy. These guys that were back in Asia, you know what they chose to do? Nothing. They chose to forsake me. They chose to turn against the ministry. They chose to turn against the gospel. They chose to do nothing, Timothy. I don't want you to be like those guys. I don't want you to be like them. I want you to be like that man in Onesiphorus that was willing to find Paul even at the cost of his own life to say, hey, I'm going to be involved in serving God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Timothy may have thought that this is, as it seemed, many were forsaking the ministry. Maybe this was the direction that Timothy was thinking about going, but Paul is reminding him this was not what pleased the Lord. And so Paul says here, if any man strive for masteries, the masteries is referring to the things that he's doing, the crown, the achievements, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So what does it take to be a disciplined athlete? What does it take to be a disciplined athlete? I want to give you just two things this morning, and then we'll be done. Here's the first thing I want to give you this morning. To be a disciplined athlete takes training. It takes training. It takes a total commitment. A total commitment. There is training that is involved. Now, in this training, there are several things that we have to understand. First of all, if you're going to train, you better know what your race is. You better know what your race is, right? Because not every race is the same. There are some that are short 100-meter dashes. There are some that are marathons that go for miles. There are some that are relay races that involve more than one person. There is a team involved here, right? In fact, there were many different games that were played during the Olympics. Obviously, today there's a whole lot more, but the predominant games during this time were wrestling, boxing, disc throwing, javelin throwing, and then running. Those were the predominant games during the Olympic times. And Paul is saying, look, if you're going to achieve the crown, there is training that is involved. You better know what your race is. And look, friend, can I explain to you this morning, not every person has the same race to run. Not every person is running the same race. And that's why it's important that you need to know what your race is. You need to find out what is your race. What is it that God is wanting you to do? Paul is reminding Timothy, he says, hey, Timothy, don't forget about what God has called you to do. Your race, you know what it is, Timothy. Paul introduced us in the very first chapter. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, hey, I know what my race is. I am to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is God's will for me. I know my race. Timothy, don't forget your race. Don't forget the race that God has called you to. Look, friend, you've got to know what race it is that you are running. It may not be the same race that I'm running. It may not be the same race as Pastor Joel. It may not be the same race as somebody else in this church. But each and every one of us, if you're a Christian here this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has a specific race for you to run. What is it? It's kind of hard to be a disciplined athlete if we don't even know what race we're supposed to run. Wouldn't that be? I go to sign up for the Olympics. All right, I'm signing up for the Olympics. What are you competing in? I don't know. Just put me down for something. They're going to be like, sir, we just can't put you down for something. You got to figure out what you're doing. Nah, it doesn't really matter. Just put me down for something. They're all the same. Why do we look at the Christian life that way? God says, hey, I've got a specific race for you to run. It doesn't really matter if I know what it is or not. No, he has something specific for you to do. There's a specific race that he wants for you. And think about this. Before Jesus ascended up into heaven, Peter looks over at John and says, what about him? Remember the passage in the book of John, right? Jesus is about to ascend up. Jesus is talking to Peter, telling him some things that he's going to go through, the race of his life and how it's not going to be easy. And Peter looks over and he sees John, the beloved apostle over there, and he says, hey, Jesus, what about him? What's he going to go through? What's his race? What's going to happen to him? What did Jesus say? What is that to thee? He said, what difference does it make what he's going to go through, Peter? That's not your race. Don't worry about John. You worry about you, Peter. You worry about the race that you are called to. Don't worry about him. He has his own race to run. You worry about the race that I've called you to run. You know, the problem is we're worried about everybody else's race. Oh, we can definitely tell everybody else what they're supposed to be doing. And we can tell them where they're wrong and where they should be doing better. But when it comes to us, wow, we really don't like anybody talking about our race. Well, man, I'm telling you, the pastor, I mean, you know, he's got his race to run. Well, how come he doesn't do this? And how come he doesn't do that? And why did he do this? And what? Hey, look, I've got my race. What about yours? Your race. Look, I know I'm going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ for my race. You're not going to have to stand before him for my race. And you know what? I don't have to stand in before him for yours. But you do. Do you even know what race you're running? Do you even know what he wants for you? How are we going to know the race that he wants us to run if we're not even spending time in his word? How are we going to know what he desires for our life if we're not walking close to him each and every day? This is why it's so important for Christians that we're not just in church, but we're in the word of God and we're walking with God each and every day so that he can show us exactly what he wants. You say, well, what is it going to be 5 years from now? Don't worry about 5 years from now. You do what he wants today. What is it that he wants for your life today? That's what you need to work on. Don't worry about somebody else's life. Don't worry about their race. Don't worry about 5 years from now. You do what he wants you today. Know your race. May I say, not only do we need to know our race, you need to keep your body fit. No, I'm not talking about food and stuff here, all right, this morning, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But athletes have very specific regimens. Athletes. I'm not saying people that like to play sports. I'm saying athletes. They have very specific regimens. They have specific eating habits. They have specific things that they allow themselves to do and don't allow themselves to do. I mean, they're very disciplined, right? They're very disciplined. Jerry Rice, who's one of the greatest wide receivers probably to have ever played football, would be found working out from 7 a.m. to 12 noon, 6 days a week, while other players were out golfing or on their boats during the offseason. Why? Because he wanted to be the greatest wide receiver that there was. When he was in high school, his coach would make the players run up a 40-yard hill 20 times a day. On one hot, muggy Mississippi day, Jerry Rice ran up the hill 11 times and then decided to quit. He was done. He started walking toward the locker room when he realized what he was doing and knew that if he had quit now, he would get into the mode of quitting and think it was okay to quit later. It's So we went back and did 9 more times. As a professional football player, he became famous, not only just for being a great wide receiver, but for sprinting up another hill in California. But this hill was not 40 yards. This hill was 2.5 miles. And he would sprint up this hill every day. Other professional athletes would try to keep up with him, but would fall behind, amazed at his stamina. Why? Because when he was in high school, he said, "I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. That's not going to be in my vocabulary. I'm not going to quit." He wanted to keep his body fit. If you're a golfer, you know who the Black Knight is. The Black Knight is a man, his nickname for Gary Player. He's a very famous professional golfer. He won 163 tournaments, including 9 major championships. And many times people would come up to him and say how they wish they could hit the ball like Gary Player. "If I could hit the ball like you." On one occasion, having a very rough day, a man came up and said the same thing. He said, "I'd give anything if I could hit the ball like you." And Player stopped. Because of the bad day he was having, he kind of replied very tersely, "No, you wouldn't." The man was kind of taken back. He said, "I'd give anything to hit the ball like you." Gary Player said, "No, you wouldn't. You'd give anything to hit a ball like me if it was easy." He said, "You've got to get up early in the morning at 5 a.m. and go out and hit 1,000 golf balls and walk back to the clubhouse, put a bandage on your hand where it's bleeding, and then go back out and hit another 1,000 golf balls. That's what it takes to hit a golf ball like me." May I say it's sad that athletes are more committed and dedicated than Christians are? Athletes are more committed, the world is more committed to so many different things than Christians are to the Christian life. Because for whatever reason, we have separated the Christian life from life. We think my life is my job and my home and my family and all these other different things, and my pleasures and all that I do. But the Christian life is something that I do on Sunday when I go to church and, you know, when I read my Bible, that's the Christian life. No, friend, you've got it all wrong. You see, remember what Jesus said? If you're going to follow me, you must be willing to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Daily. We don't want to do that. We want to deny ourselves and take up our cross when it's convenient, when it's easy. We don't want to do it when it's hard. We don't want to do it if it's going to cost us something. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. Hey, Timothy, yes, it's going to cost something. Where is Paul when he's writing this? He's in jail. He's in prison. He said, it's going to cost you something. When you choose to deny yourself and you follow Jesus Christ, it can cost you something. Now, it may not cost you jail time. It may not cost you your death like Paul was about to die. But it's going to cost you something. And that's why we do not commit ourselves to being a disciplined athlete. We do not want to pay the cost. We don't want for it to be hard. We want it to be easy. I'd give anything if I could hit a ball like you. Well, why haven't you? Why haven't you? Oh man, if I could teach like Brother Brian Stinson, man, that'd be great. Well, why aren't you? Oh, if I could preach like Pastor Joel, man, that'd be great. I wish I could do that. Well, why aren't you? You know why? We know the cost. We won't do it. It costs to study the Word of God. It takes time. It takes early mornings. Hey, look, I know if you've got a job, you just don't have all the time in the world to study the Word of God. But if you really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what? You'll take the cost. You'll be self-disciplined. You'll recognize, hey, I may have to get up a little bit earlier to get in the Word. I may have to stay up a little bit later to get in the Word. I may have to do this or that or rearrange my schedule. But you know what? Following Jesus Christ is the most important thing. And it doesn't matter if anybody else is doing it. Hey, it doesn't matter if they're out on their boat or they're out playing golf or whatever it is. I've got to get in the Word of God. I've got to practice. I've got to train. I've got to study. I've got to get in the Word of God. I want to know Him more. Why? Because there is a race that He has for me to run. Take up your cross daily, not just when it's convenient. To deny self, they're willing to count the cost to be the best man, the best woman, whatever it is. And yet Christians, we just want to take it easy. We just want it to go easy. Men and women who say they love the Lord aren't willing to count the cost for Jesus. Are we willing to spend time in the Word? Think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Honestly, do we care more about physical food than we do spiritual food? We all like to eat. There's no doubt about it. But do we like to eat? We have no problem spending time preparing food, making food, eating food. We have no problem spending money on food. But what do we spend training? What do we spend in His Word? What do we spend learning, growing, becoming like Him? Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12 says, For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The author is writing and says, hey, guys, what's going on? What's going on? You've had the word. You've had the word, but you're still a babe. You're still just on the milk. Look, can I say, and I'm not trying to be mean here this morning, but if the only time that you get fed spiritually is when you come to church on Sunday, you're a baby. You're a baby. If you don't get fed any other time, if you're not getting fed in the Word of God on Monday when you open the Bible, and on Tuesday when you open the Bible, and on Wednesday when you open the Bible, and on Thursday when you open the Bible, and on Friday when you open the Bible, and on Saturday, if you're only getting fed when you come to church on Sunday, you are a baby. Now, you may not like to hear that, but that's the truth. You're a baby. You say, I'm a full-grown man. I'm a woman. Well, spiritually, you're a baby. How long have you had the Word of God? No, don't answer out loud. But think with me for a minute. How long have you had the Word of God? Five years? 10 years? Some of you have had it for 20, 30 years. You've had the Word of God a long time. Still drinking milk? Still drinking milk? Look, I'm not saying milk is bad to drink. I mean, hey, chocolate milk's good every once in a while, but you're not going to live on chocolate milk. He says, but strong meat, the meat belongs to them who are strong in faith. That strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, he says. Can I tell you what the real problem that we have in Christianity in America is? It's not Washington, D.C. It's not Columbus, Ohio. The problem that we have in America with Christianity is there are a bunch of babies. There's a bunch of baby Christians in churches all over America today. that are just listening to the pastor preach, and they're saying, okay, that's great, that's what I'm going to get for this week, and they won't open their Bible tomorrow, and they won't open their Bible on Tuesday, and they won't open their Bible on Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday, and then next Sunday they're going to come back and open the Bible again, all right, that's a great preacher, and then they go through it the exact same thing again. Friend, that is not what Jesus said to do. He said, you are going to deny yourself and take up your cross daily if you want to follow me. Look, if that's how you want to live your life, fine. But don't call yourself a follower of Jesus. Amen. If you want to live your life that way, that's fine. If you don't want to open your Bible on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, if you don't want to spend time with God, that's fine. But don't call yourself a follower of Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to deny yourself, and you're going to take up your cross daily. Are we willing to count the cost? Are we willing to truly be disciplined? Are we willing to do what he wants for us? Even Jesus himself, what did he say? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. More important than physical food, Jesus said, is to do the will of the Father. I want to be obedient to what he has called me and sent me to do. Are we willing to deny self and take up our cross daily to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ? We have to train. Total commitment. But then may I say, secondly, we must compete. To compete means we run well. We run well. What did Paul say? Think about what he says in verse number 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. A man could only be crowned if he were to strive lawfully. A man could only receive the crown if he had met the requirements to enter the games, and then if he kept the rules of the games. If he cheated at any time, or if it was found out that he had misrepresented himself before the games, or if he cheated during the games, he was thrown out. Even if he came in the top, he was thrown out. He was disqualified. He said, you must strive lawfully. Friend, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the act that he had done, whether it be good or bad. You understand that Jesus Christ is watching. He says, I've given you a race to run. Are you running? I've told you what you need to do. You need to deny yourself and take up your cross. Follow me. Are you doing it? If not, he says, one day you're going to have to stand before him. And you're going to have to explain why you chose not to run the race that he gave you to run. Oh, I'm in the race, but you know, I just don't feel like doing I don't feel like following the rules. Fine. Don't follow the rules. One day, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. You're going to have to explain why you didn't follow his rules, what he said to do. Are we going to run well? Are we going to finish our race? Do you understand, from a human perspective, Paul was a loser. From a human perspective, Paul was a loser. Nobody was cheering him on. Remember all those in Asia, they forsook him. They didn't care about him. They forsook him. He was in prison. And yet, to the Lord, he was considered a winner because he ran the race that God had for him, and he finished well. If you turn over to chapter 4 in 1 Timothy, in verse number 7, what does Paul say? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Oh, that's just Paul saying it about himself. No, friend, that's not just Paul saying about himself. That is Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Those aren't just Paul's words. Those are God's words. God says, Paul, you have finished your race. You've kept the faith. You've finished well. Now, to Paul, to everybody else, Paul was a loser. God says to me, no, Paul, you're not a winner. You kept the faith. You ran the course, the race that God called you to run. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I really don't. But maybe just to give you a little perspective, let's just say we're in a line. We're in a line. And you're standing in that line. And next one up before you is Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. And Paul steps forward, and the Lord begins to talk about the good, the bad, whatever it was that Paul did in his life. And God begins to reward Paul for how he served him, and how he kept the faith, and how he ran the race, how he was self-disciplined in following the Lord, and how he finished well. Next up is you. I wonder how we would fare following right after the Apostle Paul. Would we be looking behind us and say, hey, you want to go next? We'll kind of go back halfway back the line. I don't want to follow Paul. I don't want to follow Moses. I don't want to follow some of these guys. Why? Because we know we didn't finish well. We know we weren't a disciplined athlete. We know we did not give it all for Christ. I'm not usually one into poems or anything like that, but I read this poem. I was actually looking for a quote. I did not know this quote was actually a poem. It was turned into a poem, or the quote was taken from the poem. There's a missionary by the name of C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd was a famous cricket player. For those of you that don't know what cricket is, it's kind of like the British version of baseball a little bit. He was a very famous cricket player in England. Had a great career lined up in front of him. He's going to be probably one of the greatest cricket players that ever lived. And C.T. Studd got saved and decided to use his life for the Lord. Left playing cricket. Left all the fame, left all the glory, left it all to be a missionary. C.T. Studd went to Africa, went to China, to India. The quote that I was looking for says this: only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, we'll get one, will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. And I wanted to use that quote at the end of the message here, and then when I actually found the quote, I had no idea it was a poem. I'm not going to read the whole poem. It's quite lengthy. I would encourage you, maybe you go back and find it yourself, but I do want to read several verses of it, and I want you to think about what he says. It's entitled, Only One Life, by C.T. Studd. Two little lines I've heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when life would seek to have its way, and help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn. Oh, from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last.'" I wonder if their heads bowed and their eyes closed. No one looking about this morning. I can tell you this. C.T. Studd meant those words. Because he was willing to forsake all. He was willing to count the cost and follow Jesus. He was a disciplined athlete. Cricket was his game. It was his God. Until he chose to surrender his life to Jesus Christ. Friend, we might claim the name Christian, but if we're not willing to die to self and take up our cross daily and follow Him, we are deceiving ourselves in saying we're a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul says, Timothy, there are many that are going to forsake. There are many that are going to quit. But you have to be a disciplined athlete. You press on. You keep going no matter what anybody else does. You stay close to God. You run the race that God has for you to run so that you might finish well. I wonder this morning, maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe like Timothy, maybe there are thoughts going through your mind saying, you know what, maybe it's just not worth it to serve God. It's just not worth it to follow Jesus. And you've thought about quitting. It's just been too hard. Too many difficulties. Friend, can I encourage you this morning? Don't quit. You only have one life. Why not live it for Jesus Christ? You can be the greatest cricket player, the greatest baseball player, greatest football player, greatest basketball player. Can I tell you what? None of that will matter in eternity. Only what's done for Christ will last. Friend, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today where I would go. I hope I go to heaven, but I'm just not sure. Friend, if that's you this morning, say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't even know what it really means to be a Christian. But I'd like to know what that means. I'd like to know how I could be saved. You say, Pastor, that's me. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody's looking about, just me. You can put your hand down, thank you. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. Somebody else, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died where I would go. I'm not sure what it means to be a Christian. Pastor, would you pray for me? Thank you, God bless you. Friend, just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you'd like to know from the Word of God how you can be saved, we'd love to take the Bible and show you. If you're a man, we'll have a man talk with you. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady talk with you. To know for sure that you're saved, to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. A Christian, are you willing to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Him? Or do we just want it to be easy? I'd give anything to hit a ball like you. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because you're not willing to be self-disciplined. You're not willing to really do what it takes to count. Lord, I love you. I'll do anything you want. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You'll do anything if it's easy. Are we willing to do that which is hard? Are we willing to stick with it even through the most difficult times? Or are we just looking for the easy road? Father, I pray that you would bless in the invitation now. Lord, speak to hearts and help us to truly grasp and understand, Lord, what Paul is saying to Timothy. Lord, we need to be a disciplined athlete. Lord, as C.T. Studd said, we only have one life, and soon it'll be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Lord, help us to choose to live for you. Not just in name, but Lord, truly denying self, taking up our cross daily, and following you. Father, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The pianos are going to begin playing softly.